Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. It's the Wednesday edition. I am Joanne Haig and I will be your host for today. Looking after all things technical is my good friend Michelle Brathwaite. The numbers to call if you want to speak to us on any issue, 434-1790, and to send us a WhatsApp message, it's 266-4862. Now, this morning on the front page of the newspaper, the headlines state, Bajans on guard. We see a number of Barbadians taking some precautionary measures in regards to the coronavirus, and I think that is important. The last time we were on brass tacks, or I was on brass tacks rather, I spoke about the importance of getting the correct information and sharing false information that could lead to unnecessary panic, but it is important that you get the correct information. Do you agree with the methods that our government has taken? Well, we will hear from you and your views if you do agree. Me personally, like everyone else, there's still that slight bit of fear. And only because the World Health Organization is still not clear on how this virus is spreading. All of the details are not clear. So basically, we're all praying and hoping for the best and doing whatever we can in terms of sanitization, etc. And I urge you to continue to do that. But I do know that based upon some feedback, there are some Barbadians are concerned with some of the methods that are being taken here in comparison to other Caribbean countries and what they are doing. So for example, Trinidad decided that, you know, they don't want you there. And I don't think it's a case of being xenophobic, because I'm hearing people who are saying that this is racism or being xenophobic, and it isn't, because I'm sure if it was a boatload of Barbadians coming from China with symptoms, I believe we would feel the same way to quarantine or isolate them. We know the government said that they're monitoring, they're doing at-home monitoring, they've upped their officers at both ports. And I think that is important. What my concern is the time that the virus actually takes to manifest, and can it be spread before you see the symptoms? What happens to those persons then that slip through? But again, it's not an exact science because we don't have all of the information. We just have to exercise some caution, do the best we can, and hope to God that the borders are protected in the way that the government has assured us. In addition to that, we see on the back page of the newspaper that there is a payout for some axe workers at the BIDC. And only yesterday I was asking someone with the retrenchment of workers 2018, whatever happened to the retrenched workers under the previous administration, 3,500? I wondered if they were put back into work before the election. Are they part of this retrenchment exercise of 2018. I'm hearing a lot of talk around the retrenched workers of 2018-19, but it'd be interesting to hear from persons who were retrenched by the previous administration, and let's hear, where are you today? Have you gone back into the workforce? And let's hear from you. So without any further delay, we'll take our first call. Down to Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
I am well, and you?
I'm fairly all right. No, I don't intend to drive for anybody, sir. I have always said it's always better to educate people than do other things. The response of the minister I have yesterday reminds me of the response to Dr. Schulzberg when he made his remarks. I remember, I can see it now on TV. A certain person, when Dr. Schulzberg offered his hand at CBC during a public thing, he shunned away. Now we have seen the results of it today. Right? The reality of it is that we are a country who depends, if not solely, mostly on tourism. If we cannot get a little hospital run properly, pray tell me how we are going to deal with this. So people coming in and out, is everyone that comes through our ports, are they going to be, for want of a better word, scanned? Do we have the resources to do it? I think we should start telling our people to try to gobble up as many face masks as possible and try to protect yourself.
Have you seen anybody walking around in a face mask as yet? I haven't. Have you?
Well, I have. In fact, before this thing was made public, I saw a lady on the St. Patrick bus with a mask on, and people had a lot to say. She happened to got off at the bus pole just before the Candle Hill were on the boat. And then she exited the bus. She took off the mask. I didn't know what was going on all the while. I didn't have a clue.
But Mr. P, it could be two things. Either she does not want to catch anything, or she doesn't want to share anything, spread anything.
It could be one or three things, too. Probably she knew what was going on. But we have a habit of sweeping things under the carpet. But the reality of life is someday that carpet has to be taken up. And then the dust of reality hit all of us. It isn't about, I hear the World Health Organization talking about one end and one cause of panic. It's a matter of causing panic. It's about telling people what's really going on, telling people to be prepared and to take the necessary precautions.
But haven't they done that so far? Well, they're saying that they're still trying to unravel the whole mystery behind it because it's still relatively new, but they're sharing it as much as they possibly can. Don't you think that is the case?
The way they word it and responding to it, the way they word it, right? Mm-hmm. And the reality of it all, this thing can cause death. As a matter of fact, it has caused death. No, to the back page.
Maybe before you go to the workers, there's a question I want to put out there and I would like answered. We are hearing more about the deaths and we're hearing about how many people are contracting the virus worldwide. What I'm not hearing is the amount of survivors. And if they have information that shows you the trend, is it the elderly? Is it young children? Is it a mixture? And what is the survival rate? Because if you have over 20,000 cases and you have over 400 deaths, not quite 500, obviously people are being able to fight off the virus. So I'm a little surprised that the communication is only about who's dying and not who's living. And that could help sort of balance out everything where people don't have to panic. But when you hear something is spreading and all of a sudden the news is just being carried, this is the amount of deaths, you know, so far to this virus. People are asking, well, can I survive this? Who's surviving it? Who's more at risk? And that's the type of information I would like to hear a little bit more. What say you before you go on to the back page?
But, you know, you might have it. I might have it. You might have a greater impact of it than I have. I might survive than you. And I might have the lesser. I might die. But you might survive. Right?
But that's there must be some sort of trend. I mean, I would imagine with the autopsies and that is being done to see, well, out of the 400, 300 were senior citizens over the age of 70 or under the age of 70. It's just good information to have. I'm not saying it would relax your efforts. I think everybody needs to be on guard for this. But it will still make you feel hopeful that it's not a death sentence. But right now it's feeling like if it is, and I think it needs to be communicated that people have survived.
That is human nature. Now, I can bring you an example, right? The medical profession have said that AIDS cannot be spread by mosquitoes. I am one who think it can, because AIDS is a blood-related disease. Mosquitoes are known to spread diseases through blood when the mosquitoes sting your ear, something to the bite. I don't know if they got teeth or not, but it don't go and sanitize whatever, but you ate.
You know, and yeah, my producer laughing.
when I look back at the history, it's different people. and not the whole truth being told. I have no choice but to have these doubts. I have none. The question that you asked that somebody, the survival rate is very important. But you know what? You're asking the wrong fella.
I'm actually putting it out there for someone to answer. I may be on the internet. I've searched. I've asked a couple of people. But when you were listening to the news and people are sharing information, it's dominated more by the deaths and not by this with the survival rate.
You know something? As hard as life is, you know most people don't want it.
I don't think anybody really wants to. Everybody, I said last week, they want to go to, we all want to go to heaven, but we really don't want to die to get there. And that's human nature.
You see that part? I even get in there. You saw this religious. But, you know, what does God be trying? Mm-hmm. And this is going to be my response to that heaven thing. He preach every Sunday, get on the pulpit, and they tell about living good. Of course, I'll let everybody to live good. And if you live the right way, you're going to heaven. And you shun fear of death. But what amuses me is that when the same priest they say, you're going to go to UH because of Granny Adams. Miami bone. You understand? Mm-hmm. So all of these things is just words. As far as I am concerned, the reality of life is the more you live and you die. And as my grandfather always said, it depends on how long you live, it's how you live the life. I remember him saying that rather than let politics divide us, let compassion unite us. I never, never, ever forget those words. Never. There's a lot to be learned by that. Now, quickly to the back page, mm-hmm. and I am hoping that somebody from the Fight Barbados have read this. Mm-hmm. And the thing I'm going to concentrate on, because there were four people who were employed by the Fight Barbados. I want those people to know that there's a deceased person among these seven. I want people to know that. I want them to know that. Talk to a lawyer and try to recover or get what is rightfully yours by law. You know, I said yesterday, and I'm going to say it again, it is hurting, heart-wrenching, that we have so many lawyers in this country and people every day are suffering because the rights have been trampled on, and not one of them, not one, have come forward publicly to say, look, I'm going to take your case for you. I can tell those lawyers something, right? The only body they know that start a job at the top is a well-digger or grave digger. By doing those things to people, you'd be promoting yourself. You'd be bringing people. But don't only do it for that. Do it because of the compassion that you feel for others. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much. We seem to be having some problems with the phone lines and in and out. So hopefully we can get that rectified shortly. And I believe it is now. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
Let me load this radio.
Thank you very much.
John, this is my personal opinion, right? I feel that the medical people in Barbados have done what, or they're doing what they're supposed to have done. I have confidence in what is going on, in the sense that they don't think that they want people to panic. Because should people panic, then the position merits. You hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, hello? Go ahead. I can hear you.
Should people panic, then the situation will become more severe and more concerned as far as the country is concerned. I have a very strong belief that the World Health Organization and PAHO at least have done what they're supposed to have done in relation to the various countries that has been affected. My main concern, after all of these weeks, why has the vaccine been produced? Because they think that it would be important, instead of the mask that is recommended and suggested chances. That I believe that people should be, there should be some vaccine.
But Mark, you don't produce vaccines like you produce milk on a production line. That takes a lot of working on. And I believe, from what I understand, they are working on a vaccine for it. But it certainly is not overnight, and it has to get approval. And it's a lot of factors that have to go into place for things like that.
If it's that major, as far as a crisis, as far as the world is concerned, yes, I believe that the vaccine being produced will take some time. But still, when we look at the time, this is December. When we look at the outbreak is December, and we are now into the month of February. We have the whole world on alert as far as this incident is concerned. But let me give you another point. The other point I'm looking at is sometime back on the what we call viral. There was a train. They show you a train in China with over 1,000 trailers traveling from one part of China to the other part of to Germany as far as shipping is concerned. Now, miles and miles and miles and miles, as far as I observe on this thing that went viral. Now, my particular position is this: we are thinking about human beings, which is important. We are talking about seaport. We are talking about airport. Mm-hmm. Lots of goods are imported from China all over the world. And can it not travel in terms of a package, in terms of goods, in terms of being contaminated, so that the world now looking at bodies. But besides that, because of the importation of the millions and millions of various boxes of items, can it not be a case that are these things scanned to say that this is also an area of protection?
Well, it goes pretty deep, and we can keep going on about checking this, stopping that, and then before we know it, we stop life, you know, and just to save lives, which is important to save lives. But how far are we going to go with it? Are we going to shut everything down, stop imports, stop everything, stay inside? If you understand what I mean, there's got to be a limit.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I'm saying is that you don't want a situation of panic. I think the way we are fed in relation to what to expect, for example, nobody advertised that masks was available on the market. But now we're reading in the newspaper that some of the people who import the masks are telling you that they went out of stock. So people have already started to take precaution as far as their lives are concerned. So I'm saying that this is extremely important that we know that people instead of panicking, mm-hmm. people decide, well, look, let me take precaution. If there's some people who are wearing masks, and some people wear masks because of the environment, because of other things. No chances that people may be wearing the masks because they don't want to catch the virus.
Well, let me share something with you, Mark, with the public. The statistics so far to date, real time, 24,631 cases, of which 3,223 in critical condition. That's 13%. The deaths, 493. So far recovered, 1,030 people. The deaths recorded are in China, one in Hong Kong. And that's it in terms of the deaths. Pretty much no one has reported China. That big number reported recovered, 1,014 recovered in China. Four people so far in 28 in Singapore. And one recovered totally so far, and the list goes on. But China being the biggest, Vietnam, three recovered out of the 10 so far. But again, let me repeat, the deaths recorded are only in China, 491, and Hong Kong, one. That does not mean that we don't take the necessary precaution. In my opinion, that is information that needs to be shared and shared and shared so that people can understand that you take the necessary precautions, but it's not necessarily a death sentence, that people have survived and can survive the coronavirus. Go ahead, Mark.
The real issue here is to panic, not to panic. And I understand what the Ministry of Health has been doing so far, and I realize that they've sent out the stars and they've given you various things that can alert you. I think what Beijing would want most likely a more detail, like what you've just given, but then you can't do that.
Let me just add in one. I forgot the guy from the Philippines who came from Wuhan, China, who's Chinese. So the Philippines recorded one death out of their three persons. So it's still, we're humans, Mark. We react. Even with all the information in the world, you're still going to feel a level of some anxiety over it. I don't think that you can say that people wouldn't. If you were someplace, you're at the airport and you heard that somebody was at the airport with the virus and you happened to be there, you kind of be concerned. But as much as you tell people not to panic, with the information, they're still going to feel concerned. I should say that. The word panic, you don't want them to be screaming and running around and everybody's shut down and don't go to work. I think that's where they're referring to when they said don't panic. But certainly one can understand the concern.
One final point. You understand if this happens within the school system in Barbados, we already have to deal with a situation as far as the schools are concerned. So here it is now that as far as environmental issues are concerned, that the schools have been affected. Now, for precautionary measures, and if you said, well, look, we are going to be very careful because we don't want this to happen next time. I'm saying that somewhere along the line, and this is just an opinion, that the program of advice, there's advisories as far as this is concerned. I remember coming up, smallpox was advisory as far as chickenpox and smallpox is concerned. I believe the time has now come for the Ministry of Health in Barbados to start issuing, just like how do the AIDS warning, just to start issuing, if people can buy the face mask and they want to buy the face mask. I like the idea of the sanitizing and that type of thing, but still, you know, then everybody else that got the thing. I like the idea of washing and Barbados to get into this habit, but I think that we need to soften an approach because eventually it's heading to a panic.
I think that's up to government to as well to make sure that they don't put information out there that would lead to, and certainly in my opinion, I don't think that they have. What decisions that they have made, I think, is the public is actually based upon some feedback I've seen on Facebook where the minister said that they're not going to refuse any persons coming from China to the country, and while other Caribbean countries were doing so. I believe that has caused some concern for Barbadians. It was explained, yes, but as a Bajan, I can tell you, you could explain that all you want to the average Barbadian. They are still adamant, would be adamant, that they don't want to catch it. I can tell you there was a lady, an old lady that I knew, and she... It was done in ignorance, huh? Many years ago with the HIV virus, and she was taking some money from some person that people claim that had HIV, you know, back in the early 90s. And she put a plastic bag over her hand to take the money. But again, ignorance did not understand that you can't catch it like that. I believe we've come a long way. So you see what I said is important to have some information. Otherwise, that's how we would respond. Now, in today's world, we don't treat HIV patients like that, thank God. You know, there's treatments and so on and so forth. And I'm hoping that as time goes by, with viruses such as SARS and MERS and this one, the whole family of viruses, that they create some vaccines that we would see it under control. But thoughts?
You know, John, that sometime last week, there was a special flight arriving one of the islands from Beijing, a direct flight, and it was the Minister of Tourism, and I don't want to go into detail, but he was defending the origin of the flight. Now, it's things like this we have to be very careful of, that we are protecting ourselves from anything. But here it is, a direct flight coming out of China and landing in one of the Caribbean territories, and the minister responsible for tourism, when questioned, defend the position that this flight, the origin of this flight was X, so people would panic. So I'm thinking that now what we need to do, and I'm asking the question, and you answered it, but I believe that we can process, the world can process it just as fast, that there's need to be a vaccine. There needs to be somewhere, some form, something that should be at least introduced since December, either in tablet form or injection.
Doesn't work
form.
That way, Mark. I wish it did. I wish we had vaccines for everything, but things like polio and all those different vaccines over the years, it took years of research and testing and trials. And only recently, I think it was somewhere in Africa, they had to discontinue this drug, thinking that it would be the vaccine for HIV, and it failed. And people felt really bad about it. And it took years to do it, and it failed. So there are a lot of scientists out there, and God bless them, because without them, we wouldn't have a lot of things going on in terms of, we wouldn't have a lot of help, health-wise. And they try very hard. They need support, financial support, because these test trials are not free. And all of that is always factored in. It is unfortunate that in order to save lives, it's costing so much money. And I always say that the person who finds a cure for cancer or HIV would be a zillionaire, you know, because everybody would want it and then the price would go up. And I think that is unfortunate with healthcare. I think vaccines should be free. I think governments all over the world and people being the taxpayers should support the efforts, should always then contribute to always finding the cure, support the Barbados Cancer Society, the Heart Foundation. All of these need support. But again, Mark, I want to thank you, but don't look for a vaccine overnight. If it comes, fantastic, but based on what happens and what you need to do to get a vaccine, it's not an overnight process. I believe we have Mr. Carl Padmore from the SSA on the line to give us an update on the fire. Carl?
Good morning to you, Ms. Hicks. How are you doing?
I'm good. Happy New Year. Haven't heard you for the year, so it's safe to say.
You're absolutely right. The last time, I think it was after last year, passed you in the supermarket.
Yes, yes, yes. But we wouldn't say where we shop.
No, we wouldn't.
Okay. Yes. Go on. Give us an update.
For the last hour or so, personnel from the Barbados Fire Service, Ministry of Health, Jose, Sanitation Service Authority, I mentioned the fire service already, they are on site doing an assessment. The reason for the assessment is that we would have discovered over the last 2 days two cavities, and the cavities are hard to fill, so what they're doing instead is to do some cover. Once the cover is effective, which it is looking that way, then they're able to bring the whole situation under total control. Now, there was a minor setback yesterday because as they were completing the work where the first fire started around Monday, there was a second fire which started as a grass fire and then it caught some tires as well. The fire service and the personnel from the SSA and the support agencies were able to bring that under total control by last night. So this morning, what the fire chief decided, he was bringing in some technical persons, and they are actually using drones and different equipment to look and see what's happening in terms of the cavity. Let's also understand that where the tires are located, this was once one of the first cells phases for the mangrove pond landfill before we move over to where we presently dispose of the waste. So a cell is really, it's living all the time because you don't know what's underneath there. They always be combustible. Mm-hmm. And understand that as the tires burn down, you can ignite something underneath there. So the fire chief and the personnel from the SSA, they want to ensure that there's not too much movement underneath because we may have a calm on top, but we have to make sure that underneath is also safe as well. That is the position from us here at the SSA. We have support from Jose, CEO Williams, and we have a number of private individuals who would have kindly donated dirt, which is different than marl, the dirt to help with the cover. In terms of the residents...
I was just about to ask about the residents, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. We can give them the assurance that by this evening we should have even better visibility and they should even sleep better tonight once all is well, because we were aiming for that yesterday and we had a second fire. But today, because I'm speaking to you in the vehicle from the top of the landfill, and I can see that it is getting clear. Mm-hmm. There are one or two concerned spots, they tell you that they're called cavities because it's like a big hole, which is hard to fill, but we're putting some cover on it. So we're using lots of cover material. We also we have a water tank here from Jose, supplying some water, which is what the water is actually doing. It's calming the, cooling the hole, because water went out a tire fire, but it would cool it so that it's easy to maneuver around. Mm-hmm. So we are thankful for the support we're getting from the private sector as well.
Did you have any reports of residents having to be hospitalized, asthma cases, anything, or everybody's
not
okay?
Today, and we are praying that it does not happen as well, because that is concern for our safety and of all humans as well. And that's our priority. That's why we had crews that left here last night, midnight. The first day, crews left here 2 a.m. On the Tuesday morning. And they were back by 6, because we don't really want to go into 3 or 4 days unless we have to. We already going into day 3 with this operation, and really we want that by the end of today that it's just more or less like a mop-up operation on the final day.
And before you go, let me just say kudos to you and the SSA. I find that the garbage collection, certainly in my area, has improved tremendously. And sitting in this chair, we haven't seen a lot of complaints, so keep it up.
Well, thank you. Yes, we want to thank the government for their swift response in providing the additional vehicles and manpower. Mm-hmm. And we are working assiduously to ensure that all Barbadians get, at this stage, a collection between 7 and 14 days. There's some persons getting every 7 days, mm-hmm. and the others are getting 14. There is hardly an area in Barbados that goes into 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And our concern and mistakes, I know you will say to me, everyone listens to VOB. So we're making this appeal to the utility companies. Some of you still have a lot of lower hanging wires. That is posing a problem for us in some areas where our trucks can't maneuver. We would like you to raise the wires or if those can run on the
utility
ground.
Companies, the light and power and the other utility.
Digicel, all of those. We prefer the wires to go higher because we need to get the trucks in, mm-hmm. right?
So you've identified the areas where the wires are hanging. I mean, is it that you, at least SSA, would communicate that as opposed to the residents having to let them know?
We have had calls from the residents. We went to investigate. The mm-hmm. residents would have indicated to us that they would have called these companies. We, too, would have followed up with some calls. Mm-hmm. And then... we will also visit. Now, what we have had to do is sometimes to redeploy a smaller truck that might be servicing one of the small gaps into the St. Michael District to go into the country. And once you put a small truck in the country, you know it has to make some of these 5 or 6 deliveries. When with the big truck, we can go in. Let's look at the Crane area, for instance, mm-hmm. where we would have had such calls. I think it was Crane Park number 2 and Long Bay number 2, where we would have had some lower hanging wires. Mm-hmm. So those are some things that we are battling at present. But for the most part, our complaints have been reduced by over 80%, which is tremendous.
Let me just warn you, though. Let me warn you. You know, when we say this and we commend you, somebody on a WhatsApp can say my garbage didn't get picked up. But I know you are listening, and you always do. Yes. And we will share that information with you because, you know, it's never 100%. There may always be one or two.
No.
Yeah, there will always be one or two, but I know that you guys are on it. And now that you're there, I want to say a special good morning to the crew, that Services Union. I absolutely love those guys, and they do an excellent job, and they're always so polite. So continue the good work, Alf. Well, sorry, Mr. Carl Padmore. You know, I call you Alf, but your professional name, Mr. Carl Padmore. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay.
Right, and to wrap up, as I can tell you, from at 10:41, as I look over, I can see the members from the fire service again. They're refusing. He holds their personnel from SSA, the Ministry of Health, and they're just going over their final discussions before they come and to give an update. But I wanted to let the public of Barbados and the media know exactly what is happening.
One more thing, Carl. One more thing. I wouldn't let you explain it now, but next time you come back, know that things are getting better. You really should look at the schedule now to see how best you can schedule so people will know what day is garbage day. That would just be
added. What is happening? What is happening? I'm happy you're saying that because that is what we're working on. We are actually working on a schedule. So, for instance, you may see your garbage crew coming a particular day. If it goes off, it may go up by a day or two. Because we're trying to tweak it where we can almost predict, unless there's heavy rainfall or an accident, that you can get back a scheduled fixed time.
Of course.
Where you're getting regular connections again, because we're trying as much as possible to tick all those boxes.
Great. I love it. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You are on the air. Good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you now.
Okay. All right. As regarding the landfill, and you know the fire started back. They started to have the billowing smoke yesterday evening, et cetera, et cetera. But my concern is there's so much emphasis now on landfill. I want to take it to a level that has to reach eventually, which is the emphasis is to be on the recycling aspect of garbage. I've been relentless in the call that garbage is money. Garbage has to be sorted, and it is pinning your top in the mud, going around with the kind of grappling problems we are having with garbage in Barbados. Now, we had the pileup. That it was horrendous. Now we're getting that alleviated. I know we're on to the eruption, the fire at the landfill, etc. I want a definitive as to what is happening as regarding the recycling that will lessen all of this landfill talk and lessen all of this pileup. Now there's an article in yesterday's paper saying that the government is looking to buy a shredder for $500,000 to shred the tires, etc. Yesterday, I spoke to the moderator, Mr. Wickham, and I highlighted that there was a shredder placed over in over by the metal dump some time ago, which was removed on the auspices of bees were to shred all those machines and all that metal thing. And I don't know if Mr. Wickham was not very clear, or that's not my discussion. I made it my best to go and ask Mr. Bynum if. Because he was saying that treasure is only for metal. Mr. Bynum categorically said to me, I went to him and asked him, your treasure, what can it tread? He said that tread anything at all. Wood, metal, rubber, anything that is to be treaded, that shredder would tread. The concern I've got is if you've got a shred of that magnitude and that kind of thing, he had his thing placed there to shred up all of that. With all of this that Mr. Bynum shredder can't be enacted or brought about right away, and let's start going, get going. The question has to be answered. If we're not going to be playing around with garbage, something seems to be amiss in regard to what's happening with the recycling aspect in Barbados. And it's high time now. The public is at the wit's end as to what is going to happen going forward. You think we can have this eruption of terrorist dump burning every minute ongoing? The cost that is going to cost is going to be horrendous, and the disruption and the inhalation of smoke, etc. We cannot go on like this. I am saying the authorities have got to come and bring a better package, a better perspective, and in my estimation, bring some closure to all of this landfill kind of situation. It is now abhorrent. In my analysis.
Okay.
Now your take?
Yes. You see, these fires, they happen, yes. Do they happen regular? Well, maybe a little bit more than you would want. But
one
I wouldn't
too
say,
many.
But I still wouldn't say you have one a month, you know. And the last fire, I'm sorry that Mr. Padmore is gone. I think it was sometime last year. And prior to that, maybe one or two, possibly a year. And again, you are correct that we do need to have that discussion as to what we're going to do with the recycling and eventually phasing out landfills, but everything in time. They do have to make a start.
Time is not crossing your body, Mr. Hicks.
Go ahead.
Everything is in time, but time could be 15 years, you see.
I'm one of the ones. I have coined a phrase that says, they say everything happens in time. I just need it to happen in the time I have left. So I understand what you're saying. When people are doing things, you and I, we're living now. We want to see certain things. And if we don't see it, we at least want to make sure the wheels are turning for children and their children. But let's get real about a lot of changes.
Uh-huh.
When things deteriorate, it takes months, years, whether it be buildings or, you know, certain things in life, even your own body, you know, if you don't take care of it. And it's not, things are never overnight process when you're coming to those types of solutions with garbage, especially with, it's new to this country in a sense. It's about sensitizing people to it, the school children, and eventually phasing it out. I mean, there are countries like Switzerland that they've been recycling. I remember being in Switzerland in 1996, and you had to separate your garbage or there's a fine. I mean, the streets are clean and so on. So there are countries that have successfully done that. Singapore.
It can be done.
It can be. It's just a start. But there's so many things on the ground right now in terms of what is coming out of the mouths of Barbadians, and rightfully so. It was the sewage. It's the water, it's the garbage, it's the SME, it's employment, it's, you know, it's no the health issues, the hospital, so what I'm trying to say is, yes, you have to prioritize somewhat, and everything is kind of linked. And if you start something, you know, you can't start everything at the same time, and then sometimes things happen, like too much rain, and you got stopped. Or something breaks out, like the coronavirus, for example, and then you may have to switch up the plan. Life is dynamic, you know. It's not one thing, and history is never in a straight line. So even though we do complain and we should be concerned, I would be more concerned if nothing was happening, if you understand. But again, the pace, you need to pick up the pace, because you and I know that we have spent more time here on Earth than the time we have left, right? So we need to see certain things happening too. I agree with you.
I've got a second point.
Go on.
No. Pray tell me. For some time, I've just spoken to a guy, and he I want to attend his mom's funeral. And he said, Raul, I haven't gone to my mother's body release yet. There's this, we've got a problem in Barbados with a pathological, this pathologist kind of thing. And he says, you know what, Gourmet? And he said, I want to bring closure to this thing. And there's several families that every time they've got to go through a week, a month, and you hear the body's been released after 6 weeks. What is happening in Barbados? I understand that there isn't a resident pathologist and there's somebody that comes in from Jamaica and says, all of this needs to be straightened. You have a big country like Barbados, it's not a little village. You have to have a resident pathologist in Barbados to address the issues, because every now and again you get these cases where there have to be this pathologist report. What is going to happen going forward in respect to people bringing closures today? We've got a kind of thing about our loved ones and whatever.
I'm trying to get confirmation about what you're saying about the resident pathologist.
Yes.
Are you saying that there's none?
I was made to understand. I can speak on the correction, but you can do your checks. All I'm trying to say, you've been hearing repeatedly for persons waiting for the release
the
of
report.
The body.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing isn't carried out. You have heard this yourself. I can argue you would have.
Mm-hmm.
Because you live in Barbados like me.
Mm-hmm.
It is unacceptable. Every minute you hear, the body ain't released yet. The body can't get the body yet. Undertaker's out there saying, what's happening? You got to spend some monies and effort in getting, because it is families that are out there at the depressing end and the whole empathetic situation that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And don't fool yourself. I am very straightforward and candid.
Mm-hmm.
Any other person could be a victim, God forbid,
But you can get a development where your loved one something and it has to go through.
So
that
you
process.
Are referring to, because unfortunately we've had a lot of deaths related to gunshots and stab wounds, etc. So obviously that's a criminal case. But for what I understand here, regular pathologists at the QEH available, it's the forensic pathologists in criminal cases that are needed. So when you see a delay of the body, it's more than likely the delay of a body that was involved in some sort of of incident that resulted in a tragic death and that is being investigated. And that is where the QEH needs to improve on. So you're not you're not fully wrong. You're half there because there are pathologists there. But it's the ones that major in criminal cases.
Yes,
and at the rate that we're going at, if we certainly don't slow down or bring it to a halt, we'll need a number of them coming. But I want to thank you for your contribution. Before I go to the phone lines, I'm getting some information here. There are between 5 to 6 pathologists at the QEH for sure. And I just wanted to make sure I share that so we don't think that work is not being done at the QEH. And to persons who may be concerned about the coronavirus, some statistics were just shared with me that the deaths related to the flu, the annual flu since 2010 in the U.S., the deaths were between 12,000 to 61,000. Hospitalizations, 140,000 to 810,000. Illnesses in general, 9.3 million to 45 million. The reason why I'm sharing this is because the burden of the flu, the influenza, the disease, that virus spreads quickly, very quickly. And we are worrying about coronavirus. And I'm saying that not to worry, be concerned. Be concerned. Take all of the measures necessary that the Ministry of Health has shared. But in terms of preventing ships from coming and this from coming, we would have to shut down all the airports and forget tourists completely because the rate of deaths regarding pertaining to the flu is actually higher than that of the coronavirus. And I'm not a doctor, but this is being shared with me. So I'm sharing this with the public so that we together can sort of not panic. We have a responsibility here at the radio station to make sure that the information is shared and we don't incite any panic. And we certainly don't want to do that. What I have shared with you is 100% accurate. And if you have any questions, of course, and we can get the information, we will certainly get that for you here. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Hicks.
Good morning. I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. I'm glad you brought up this corona thing, because I realize that listening to the program, we got a lot of corona experts.
And we're not talking about the bear, you mean experts. We mean corona, the virus.
The coronavirus, by dealing with the experts that come on the radio and try to sit this and
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure, because you said the experts for corona. I just want to differentiate between the bear.
I'm experts, then. I'm making them put it right.
Okay.
Why do we fill up the hospitals all the time and go up there and say this and there, we got to wait this hour. Left the doctors is who controlling everything. Listen to what they're saying and start worrying and panicking.
Okay.
To be honest, I got to get back a radio that got a remote control. That when I hear certain people talking, first they just press it and switch off.
But don't you think people... But Kader, all right, look, one sec. You will admit not everybody has your mindset, correct?
Yeah.
All right. And there's some people who get a little, look at women going through menopause, they cry everything. I mean, the point is at different stages and depending on who it is, they respond differently. Even with the information, some people sometimes just panic. It's just human nature. We try our best to keep them calm, but there are going to be some that are going to be more concerned than others and would share that and probably freak out. And, you know, it happens. There are some people who can't take this type of information, diseases spreading. They literally stay home and refuse to go to the supermarket. There are people who have that kind of phobia. Normally, OCD people alone, I can imagine now, won't leave their house. But Go ahead. You continue.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that whenever anything happens, the doctors at the hospital or doctors who throw, the country still got to deal with you. So what the doctor tells you to do, adhere to what they say and let things slide.
I believe we have very credible doctors here on this island.
Of course.
I believe that Dr. George knows what he's doing. And I certainly believe that the doctors will advise the Minister of Health. The Minister of Health is not a doctor, so he's not coming up with his own information. He relies on the intel from the medical fraternity. And I believe that in Barbados that we're not perfect. And they can only get their information then from the World Health Organization, CDC, and then be able to relate that to us and tell us that. So nobody's perfect. The virus, we don't have all of the information. So what I believe has happened, in the absence of every last thing, we're saying these are the measures that the government is taking and these are the measures we need you to take. It's a joint something. It's a global problem. We all have a responsibility. And yes, I was concerned when I read about the whole China situation and other people closed their borders and then we didn't. But we may have more measures in place at our borders maybe than the other countries care to put in. And again, I don't know that. I am relying on one thing first, which is God.
And
God who guide the doctors. I should say the doctors are guided. I am relying on that. I have to.
Got two other little ones. They're going to be long with this one.
Mm-hmm.
When you were at the Water Authority, I had your number, and when I called you,
mm-hmm.
I used to get prompt response. There's okay. another young lady there that I have her telephone number to.
Mm-hmm.
That when I respond, I just get prompt, if not one day, 2 days, I just get things done. And I must compliment this lady. I'm not going to call her name. I must compliment this lady. She know who she is. Whenever I send her a text, I just get prompt response. So when people call and send them calling that war, they got to get people that can do things, not somebody that can just send a message.
Here is where I'm going to join you with that. When I was at the Water Authority, it was not a one-man show. Yes, I was the person that people could find. But remember, at that time, I can't fix pipes, I can't deliver water. So I want to join you in commending either that young lady and a lot of the staff at the BWA, and I know they know who they are.
Yeah.
They do a good job, maybe
very
not
good job
in its entirety in terms of different things, but there's certainly some people in there that have no control but want to see good things happen, and they try very hard to get it done. And the company is only as good as its management. So, the workers rely on management for guidance. And then, of course, people rely on HR to get it right, to hire the right people. But we could go on in that. The point is that they're excellent. They're not all, and I'm not going to sit here and not true to myself. They're not all, and like every organization, you have your few bad apples. But the person you're talking about, there are people at the Barbados Water Authority that when you call them, they will respond and they will get things done. So it's not a one-man show. It never was.
Get things done promptly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't. And even with
her, she knows who she's dealing with when she's dealing with
me. I suspect I know who you're talking about. And the thing is, what I'm trying to say is when you make a phone call to someone at the BWA, even when I was there, I was never a one-man show. And if I didn't thank the team, some of them still there, some of them not, for making my job wasn't easy at that time. But the point is that they really came together when I reported something and I needed something done. Those guys and women got together to get the job done. Sometimes we'll be on brass tacks and be like, it's 2 o'clock, job finished, Miss Haig. And I want to commend them. So people come down a little hard on them, and sometimes they deserve it, truthfully, and sometimes they don't. And in this case, I know you're speaking of, and they're more in there like her, and I want to share that with you in commending her and some of the staff at the BWA for doing such a wonderful job. Some of the staffs. Someone is looking at me here, but I said some.
No, here we do.
Okay. All right.
Be,
well.
Be nice.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Go ahead. I was being distracted by someone looking at me. Probably had a bad experience. And listen, people have bad experiences. There's always a Water Authority story. I even told somebody that you could write a book on the BWA because everybody had a BWA story. But everybody didn't have a bad story. So I'm glad that you shared that because a lot of people don't normally share the good when it happens. So I want to thank you very much for sharing that with us.